Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Iroquois Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
I liked Coach Pegues.
I did too. Yeah. But that he didn't have a better moment than that.
No.
I mean, they won the tournament, right?
They won the thing. He
did get to 7 wins faster than Kenny Payne.
That's good.
How did we not have that stat,
man,
until just
that
now?
Is great. Good for James Black. And then did we beat Danny Manning
Hang
in the
on.
Bahamas?
I can't let that one just go. I mean, that is the...
Kenny Payne just passed him up in year two.
How did we not have that stat for a year?
I don't know.
And he got to 7 wins at Louisville faster.
We should have kept Pegues. That's right?
No. All right, welcome back to the show, the Baja Bullies 2.0. I remember that, the Baja Bullies, and they came back to the United States, and the wheels came off the cart. There we go. It's the roundtable here at ESPN 680 Louisville. I'm James Strebel. Max Godby joining me, Tanner Brutomesso, producing today's effort. Hey, if you need a simple dinner for your family, try catering from Chick-fil-A Stony Brook or Chick-fil-A Bardstown Road. From Chick-fil-A nuggets to mac and cheese, enjoy a variety of tray options sized perfectly for your crew. Order through the Chick-fil-A app, and we'll have dinner ready in no time. Chick-fil-A Stony Brook and Chick-fil-A Bardstown Road, the best source for your catering needs. Order requirements may vary. See restaurant for details. So there we go. Thank you to the delicious Chick-fil-A. I think there might be a sandwich or two left back there. If anybody, Tanner, if you get a little hungry in your tummy, you can go back there and grab a cookie or some mac and cheese or something. So there we go. All right, 437-968 UPS jobs text line. All right, so a couple. Let's do some football nuggets here, and then we'll get to some other topics as well. So Kentucky commit Preston Bowman. He's a 3-star wide receiver. Max out of Picker. All right, Pickerington. Ohio. Okay, so he's a 3-star kid, had offers from Bowling Green, EKU, Gardner Webb, etc., etc. Well, it was made a big deal this weekend that he was offered by Ohio State but decided to stick with Kentucky. He was recruited by Brian Hartline for Ohio State and Vince Merrill for Kentucky. But
I met Brian Hartline one time.
Did you really?
Super cool dude, yeah.
It was amazing how he was. I mean, he was like good for the Dolphins.
He was awesome.
He was really good.
There was a time where he was our number one guy. He has like a random franchise record of getting like 246 yards, and then I think we lost that game still.
Seriously.
Also, brother of
Mike Hartline. Yes, Mike Hartline. Is that younger brother? I'm assuming, or older brother? I think it's his younger brother. Yeah. I think he played
both at Ohio State right now.
Well, Mike Hartline's there too.
Yeah. He was an offensive analyst for the past few years. I think he's still there.
Okay, well, how about that? Yeah. So the Hartline brothers doing big things at Ohio State.
When
how about
I met
that?
Him, it was during like Tannehill was still there because Tannehill was like a rookie or like first year or second year in, and it was me, my brother, my grandpa, and my dad, and my dad's Rutgers. And like by the time they were Big Ten, and then we have like our uncles went to Michigan.
Yeah.
So,
well, how about that?
Hartline comes up and he like talks to me. He's like, "Hey, buddy, what's going on?" Like, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm starstruck. Like, this guy's awesome. And then my dad, being the Big Ten guy, he's like, ah, go blue. And it's, he's just like, he's tearing some, and he's like, what? All right, whatever.
Damn,
and
then wow.
Now, my brother to this day still claims, he's like, yeah, we met Ryan Tannehill, right? And I was like, no.
No.
It was the other white guy on the offense. It was Brian Hartline.
It's,
he was
Brian,
like,
Hartline.
Okay.
Like, yes, it was not. It was not
super
Ryan
nice
Tannehill.
Guy though.
But I do like your dad yelling "Go Blue!"
Yeah,
him.
He gave me a football too. I still have it. At home to this day. He's the man.
How about that? There we go.
Mike Hartline is actually now the passing game coordinator and wide receivers coach for the Charlotte 49ers.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go. All right. So that's where he
There's
is.
There's a bunch of former UK graduate assistants that are there now.
Charlotte?
Yeah, Charlotte.
Really? I wonder why they all convene at Charlotte.
Well, I mean, it makes sense for the time that in their career that it is right now.
Okay, well, there we go. So
Tyler Hancock's another. He was a GA when I was there.
Okay.
He was a GA when I was at UK, and he's now the special teams coordinator at Charlotte.
There we go. So we got Big Blue. Blue gets in Charlotte. But back to Preston Bowman. But so I read the fine print here, and so he was offered by Ohio State to be Ohio State to be a walk-on. So wasn't quite the victory that I thought it was going to be at first. When I first read the headline, I was like, oh man, because Louisville just lost Jake Cook, and hit the thought process is that he will be going to Ohio State as an offensive lineman. And I was kind of like, oh man, that'll show him. Stoops was able to keep Preston Bowman away from Ohio State. Then I read as a walk-on, I was like, well, never mind. Like that
hey,
doesn't hit like it
walk-ons.
Did.
Don't trash walk-ons.
I'm not trashing walk-ons. I'm not. I'm not trashing it. But there's a difference between offer you a scholarship or offer you like a walk-on spot. Because I mean, he's doing the right thing, staying in Kentucky, because he's going to get a scholarship there. Like, I'll stay here and get my school paid for and play in the SEC, and I'm not going to walk on to Ohio State so I have to pay the bills and everything. Yeah, he could get, like you did, he could get the scholarship offered down the line. But now, did they do that for you? Like, okay, you know how they have all those videos where like the coach comes in and offers the walk-on the scholarship, and everyone's like, yeah. All that, so did they do that with you?
No, they didn't do a video because it was so impromptu. And honestly, it was all God, because the day that Stoops told me that I was getting put on scholarship, it was after practice.
Yeah.
It was my worst practice, like, ever.
Really?
It was my worst practice. Schlarman was so pissed at me. I mean, screaming at me. I was just not having a good day.
Right.
And Schlarman was on my tail all day.
Yeah.
All morning. And Schlarman would play head games, like just play head games, where Summers would try to kind of just tell you, no, what you're doing is wrong.
Right.
Schlarman, if you were making him mad enough, he'd just start being sarcastic with you. He should go, all right, okay, well, I guess you're just not good. You're just not good.
Oh, wow.
Is that it? You just say you're not good anymore? And I never knew how to respond to that. And I was like,
right.
Well, no. And then the rebuttal is, well, why do you suck today? But so Stoops was just talking, and all of a sudden he just stops talking and just goes, where's Max? I just raised my hand. I thought he was about ready to chew me out.
You're like, Farman just told Stoops about all the horrible things,
exactly,
I did to practice today, how
and
bad I was.
I'm going to be made example in front of everyone right now. And he goes, guys, Max is on scholarship. And I was so caught off guard. And then all of a sudden, I was on my back because Jordan Swindle had tackled me.
Yeah. Oh, Jordan Swindle.
Oh,
yeah.
And then Summers came up to say congratulations to me. And he just looked at me and goes, man, who would have thought after your worst practice ever that you'd get put on scholarship?
Yeah, maybe Sarman went to Stoops and was like, hey, about that scholarship for Max. Maybe not do that. Maybe
exactly.
Maybe go to somebody else. Who else is on the list? But no, good for you, man. That's awesome. Now, it happened. Those bad practices happen. I remember I had one practice at Campbellsville. It was the first spring practice with contact. And I was just, I just wasn't ready for it. I'm completely honest. I had already like kind of made up my mind that I wasn't going to come back. Like, I was like, you know what? This isn't for me. It's not what I want to do. I'm not getting paid for it. I'm getting some scholarship money, but not enough to justify me, putting my body through what it was going through. And I was like, well, yeah, I just want to go to school. I don't want to do the football thing because I'm not making any money doing this. I'm broke. I'm poor all the time. I was like, I'm going to go back home, get a job, and go to school. And ultimately, that's what I did. And so I just don't think my mind was right during the practice.
And I just got completely walloped by this senior defensive lineman. Just got completely walloped by him. And the only thing I knew I could do, and you've probably done this before, but he was pushing me back. So I just grabbed him and I just took him down to the ground.
Yes.
And I just took him down to the ground. And when we both hit the ground, I just went, MF, like really loud. And so Campbellsville's like a private Baptist university. So like cursing was a big no-no. Like you couldn't curse. You couldn't, like, no tobacco products. Like, they were very strict. As dropped MF, and the offensive line coach came up and he's like, do you talk to your mother like that? I can't believe, dude, I swear to God. Like, it's maybe the only football practice ever that somebody got this butthurt over cursing. And he's like, and so I had to do like 50 push-ups because I said MF.
That's it.
Really? But people in Kentucky cussed all the time.
I'm just saying that was your punishment was 50 push-ups. I would think it'd be like rolling.
No, like, I just did 50 push-ups.
That's easy.
It wasn't that bad. But I don't think anyone ever had to do push-ups before for cursing in the college level. Now, I'm sure Kentucky, like, everyone cussed all the time.
BYU does.
Well, BYU gets a great point.
Mark Pope seems like a big, you know, drop and give me 50 for right. saying the gosh Lord's darn it.
Gosh darn it, yeah.
No, like gosh darn it to him is a bad word.
Well, he...
Like Mitch Barnhart with Jiminy Cricket.
Well, there was a story Rick Pitino told about Pope where they're at practice. It was the year that... It was 96, the year they won it all. And Mark Pope was... God, he's replacing the F word with like frickin' or something like that.
Yeah.
He's like, frick. And doing that, Pitino was like... Will you just shut up and just say the word? He's like, will you just say it? He's like, it's okay. He's like, we're all sinners here. He's like, I cuss all the time. I had to pray about it. He's like, just say it. Pope refused. He's like, no, I'm not saying it. Which I kind of respect from Pope's side of things. I respect that he stuck to his guns. But yeah, I'll never forget. I had to do 50 push-ups for saying MF.
Philip Rivers is the same way.
Yeah.
He's like, dang gummit.
Philip Rivers doesn't cuss?
Oh, no.
Never.
Really?
It is because...
I knew he's super a religious dude because he has like 8 kids.
But the
nine.
Nine. Sorry, I forgot one. Nine.
I think he has 10 on the way. Like
he's got a 10th on the way?
No joke. Like,
my gosh.
I could be wrong. It could be just he has 9 and then they're including his wife, but it was like something like he's expecting a kid. And the first tweet I saw was... Wow, Philip Rivers just built an offense around himself.
He did, awesome. He's going to have an offensive lines and have running backs, wide receivers. But can still play quarterback.
The best part about him was he was a Hall of Fame trash talker.
Oh, yeah.
But he just never would cuss. So
I remember him.
It probably got so annoying, like, just in your ear and he just doesn't curse. And, like, someone's like, all right, dude, can you just say the F word to me? Like, show a little
That's
bit
mad.
Of, like...
That's mad respect, though, to be that much of a trash talker and not cuss. I mean, that's creative. That means you gotta go places with the way you trash talk.
Who was the quarterback? He had a beef with the quarterback while he was with the Chargers.
Oh, Jay Cutler.
It's Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
Yes, you're exactly right. When Jay Cutler was with the Broncos, and there's that video where they beat, like, the Chargers are beating the Broncos, and Philip Rivers is, like, just screaming, you're a crybaby! You're a crybaby! Just yelling at Jay Cutler. He's, like, swinging a towel around. And I think that's the birth of, like, Philip Rivers as an A-plus trash talker.
I think Brian Dawkins also doesn't cuss, and he was... A full-blown lunatic.
He was a lunatic. Like, I loved watching
the amount
play.
Of hits he would like give out.
Yeah,
like, you'd think like he'd be swearing at the guy after, and then, like, they have him mic'd up, and it's just like I think it was like Algie Crumpler.
I remember Algie Crumpler. Yeah,
nails him, and then I think he has him mic'd up, and he just goes, "Oh, sweet Jesus!" And I was like. Like, how is that not... That's so terrifying. If you just got laid out and you heard right. that, or it was like, oh, glory to God. And it was like, oh, my God.
Exactly. Like, this guy... Like,
get me off the field
this
now.
This guy doesn't cuss, but he hits that hard that he must be a mutant of some sort.
It's the Tim Tebow effect.
It is. Yes, it's the exact same thing. Tim Tebow also didn't cuss. Now, did you see over the weekend, Max and Tanner, they alluded to this a little bit on during the Sports Center where Emma cut her Sports Center. But... Protesters with smoke bombs tackled after interrupting 72nd hole of the 2024 Travelers Championship, which was ended up won by Scottie Scheffler. But it's these It's these let's stop oil protest campaign, but they ran out with orange smoke bombs. Now this is a week after they spray painted Stonehenge. Did you see that?
Yes.
They spray painted Stonehenge orange, and they're the same people that they'll go to like the Louvre, they'll spray or they'll splash paint on the Mona Lisa, which you know they're stupid because all of those they're behind glass. Like these priceless artistic masterpieces are behind glass. So usually when they spray paint or splash paint on them, it's like you're just stupid. You just look dumb.
Yeah.
But then you have the really extreme ones that like glue their hand to the street, and then you get to see them crying as they pull their hand. Like, yeah. Because they gotta get them out of the way. But the Stonehenge one was the one that sent me over the edge. I'm like, what? Like that is a historical. Like monument to human ingenuity, you know, in prehistoric times. Like that's a piece of architecture that defines us as a people, as a society. And these dummies go out there and spray it with orange spray paint. And it's like, I just thought to, you know, number one, know your audience. You know, all these golf fans are going to boo you and cuss at you and laugh at you. And it's so counterintuitive to their cause. Like, our good friend Mitchell Handigan retweeted them, you know, the video of them doing the smoke bomb thing. And he's like, I'm going to go fill up my gas tank, get my oil change, drive till it's empty, then fill it up again. Because of these. Like, that's what people do.
Yes.
It's exactly the opposite. They hate them so much that they're like, no, bleep you, use all the oil. Like, give me, I'll drink oil if that's what I'm going to get you out of my face. But it was just funny to watch them get tackled and arrested. I did laugh at that.
I don't understand. Well, I do understand because you get to a level where you're so psychotic that, and that's what when you protest to that level.
Yes,
because I am pro First Amendment through and through.
100%. Yes,
peaceful protest, 100%. But when you start protesting, that is interrupting other people's lives, like traffic,
right?
Golf tournament,
shutting down a
football
bridge,
football game, yes,
yeah, stuff like that.
Stuff that is interfering people's lives. That to me is just at that point you don't care. At this point it's just like a religious zealot.
Yeah, it is 100%.
Because to them it's turned into, and just like so many things in our society, both left, right, and middle, you turn into a religious zealot over it, and there is no negotiating. There is
right.
No, hey, let's come up with a great strategy to tell people how to use clean energy.
Right.
Or hey, let's show people and let's win some people over. The average Joe that, you know what, that may actually listen to a good debate. Like just back like in the days of like what the Greeks did.
Right.
So the Greeks
just have a debate.
Exactly. Greeks didn't kill people that didn't agree with them. They would be like, hey, let's talk through it. It's a novel concept but you get to a point, it goes, no, I'm going to be the holier than thou. I'm going to make my point, and I'm going to make everyone's life around me miserable
because of it. Yeah, that's what they're doing. And like you said, there's no debating or no talking to them. Like, no. It's like, okay, what are your plans? Don't use oil. Okay, how do we get there? Because I agree with you, we should stop using it, but what's the alternative and what's the way to get to it? No, it's just we don't need to use gas or oil. Okay, again, how? How? The how is the very important thing here. The how is the most important thing. Like, fine, if I came to you back to the plan, and I was like, Max, we're going to have the number one radio show in the country.
All right, how?
And we just are.
We did it.
Okay, we're going to do
it's
it.
It's done.
We're going to do it. And, okay, how? Okay, how's the important part?
What's our strategy?
What's the strategy? How do you get there? Okay, then maybe I can sell you on that.
So in my other job, I work a lot with petroleum and work with a lot of resin. So resin is made out of petroleum and natural gas.
Okay.
So resin, do you know what's in resin?
Well, oil, I'm assuming. What else?
Well, petroleum.
Petroleum.
So petroleum. Yeah. But you need petroleum to make resin.
Right.
And resin is everything.
Yes.
So your shirt that you're wearing right now.
Yeah.
That has resin.
Has resin in it. Okay.
So it has petroleum in it. Tanner, those glasses that you're wearing, those have petroleum in it. Your hat, since I'm assuming it's not cotton, has petroleum in it.
So is this pen.
That pen.
The plastic.
That's petroleum.
Yep.
Like
anything is plastic.
Exactly. Anything that is a formed plastic, a cup, a piece of plastic, the plastic that you get to put your sandwich in when you go go take your sandwich to the work, whatever it is, if it has a plastic in it, it has petroleum in it. So when someone says, just don't use oil.
It's not all about cars and yachts and airplanes.
But that's the crazy thing is, I think a lot of these people, I think there's just a level, and I don't mean it to disparage them, but there's a lot of ignorance when it comes to that.
Right.
Because again, I'm not saying I disagree with them.
Right.
In some aspects, I agree with them.
Sure.
But it's like, okay, you better come up with a good solution for it. It's kind of like when you talk to people, I'd say we just need to get rid of coal. It's like, okay, well, how?
Yeah.
It goes, well, we're just going to. We'll just switch everything over to...
We'll shut down all the coal mines.
Yeah, switch over everything over to solar and wind. And it's like, do you not understand the concept of the electric grid?
Right. Like,
do you know that power manufacturing. Oh my gosh, LG&E. So facilities like that that produce electricity, that produce power.
Yes.
And I'm so embarrassed that
that's okay. It
that
happens.
Up.
Yeah, yeah, I do it all the time. Don't feel
major
bad.
Major brain fart.
Yeah,
but there is a percentage of every piece of electricity that's powered by coal here in the state of Kentucky that is getting rerouted to California.
Yes, I did know that. Yeah, because they had such bad power grid issues because of their, you know, quote, clean energy that they get energy from us.
Because again,
yes, I did know that.
It's not about being on one side or the other. It's like, okay, I could see, but also the only real clean energy, is nuclear energy.
That's
the only one. Yeah. And I'm 100% pro nuclear energy.
As am I.
But it's okay. Then how do you do that? If you have a state that is wanting to do this and it can't even support its own electrical grid without it, how do you do that then?
Mm-hmm.
And no one has come up with an answer. There's a lot of people in the federal level that make a lot of money that can't answer that question, that just sit back and just go, well, we're just not going to use it.
Yeah, we're just going to do it. Yeah, no, I'm with you. But it's like with these protesters.
Power plant.
Is that what you're... Your wife, did she text you that?
My mother texted me.
Your mom did. There you go. An electricity power plant. But no, and again, with these, you know, interrupting these people's everyday lives and enjoyment is the worst way to get your message across. It doesn't matter what that message is. Like, you know, go, like you said, protest, do what you need to do. But when you're, you know, walking into the Travelers Championship and just causing chaos and people are getting arrested, it's counterintuitive to what you want to happen. So I just found that story to be delightful. It just makes me laugh as these Just Stop Oil people are in the news. They're probably in the news like every day. Like, I figured at one point they'd all just kind of like convene and be like, okay, like, this is, everyone hates us. Maybe we need to re-strategize and rethink our branding and go from there. But no, they just continue to do what they're doing.
It's a martyrdom for them.
It is a martyrdom for them. Exactly. You're 100%
right. They're martyrs at this point.
Yeah. Oh, they arrested Timmy. Oh, for he interrupted Scotty Scheffler's swing and said, just stop oil, and they arrested him. He's a hero. All right, let's read some text before we get to a break here in a few minutes. Texture, everything we have from fertilizer to tires to paint is petrol-based. We spent 100 years getting oil independent. Maybe we can undo that in 50. Maybe.
Yeah, very true.
Texture just texted in Bozak Smith. Thank you. I did see him in a very small car once. And I'll never forget it. Texture, have you all ever seen a crash test with electric vehicles? Tesla, Rivian specifically, they shred and destroy guardrails. They're much heavier and lower center of mass than normal vehicles. Also wear out tires faster, which also releases a harmful chemical. E-vehicles are the opposite of green. Oh yeah, plus they had to get all those all the batteries that they have. They had to mine it like in the Congo.
They use slave labor.
Exactly. You know, they do. 100%. Yes, they do. Yes.
Very, very open about
it. For the battery for your phone, that we all have phones. We all have phones. The battery for your phone and the battery in your EV are mined from the earth using, like you said, slave labor. So these people are like, I drive a Tesla. This is green. It's like, well, it's not really green because you did get the components to make the battery for your car from a mine. I believe it's cobalt? I believe it's cobalt. They have a large amount of cobalt mines in the Congo and places like that. So it's like, no, you're nothing that we can produce is going to be 100% green or safe for the earth. It's just
except nuclear. The PR dude for nuclear needs to be fired.
Well, they had the Three Mile Island incident. They had the Chernobyl, and they had Fukushima, and like this, and there's three, you know, out of the thousands of nuclear facilities plants in the world, they had three historically, but those three have scared most people off. Like, oh, we can't have that happen here. What if that happens here? Well, number one, the one in Ukraine was crappily built by the Russians, the communists, and so it was basically built to fail. The Fukushima happened because of a tsunami.
You're saying the commies cut corners?
Yeah, because of a tsunami, and then the plant was underwater, and I don't know enough about the Three Mile Island incident to comment on like how that happened, that meltdown happened. But the two of the three have because of shoddy job by the Russians, and then a tsunami, which was a natural event that occurred that caused that meltdown to happen.
And even after that meltdown, they have parameters in place for like submersion now.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. This is a learning experience, and actually it ended up being like kind of okay. But I agree with you. Nuclear is the way to go. Texter, wonder if they use an engine powered vehicle to get to the tournament. And that's another thing. Like wherever they go, they're using like normal vehicles.
Unless you're taking paints and posters on a bike.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, on a bike with those paints. I mean, I'm sure it has petrol in the paint.
Yeah, it has petrol also.
Bingo. Texter, they also don't realize how much is made out of petroleum. Yeah, like so many items. On the real, I like Diener's take on protesters. He doesn't talk about they are protesting about. Diener gives the... I'm not sure exactly what that means. Texter, have you done Weird Wednesdays on the Anunnaki or the Black Knight satellite? I have on the Anunnaki, but I've not heard about the Black Knight satellite. I had to look that one up. Texter, Philip Rivers may be the best trash talker ever for a QB. What kind of bleep is that? And who else will praise Jesus after knocking you to next week other than Brian Dawkins? That's kind of scary when you think about it, but respect to both of them for being strong in their faith. Texter's aliens built Stonehenge. I don't think so. I just think I don't think it was aliens. Texter, these people are...
Go ahead.
Yeah.
You don't think Nephilim?
Maybe Nephilim, but they're not aliens.
When people say aliens, though, most likely it's Nephilim.
Most likely they are Nephilim. But I don't think that some space space federation group came and built Stonehenge for the pyramids.
You don't think the Lord Xenu?
I do not think Lord Xenu built Stonehenge. Dude, Lord Xenu. Hopefully there are no Scientology listeners today.
We lost our Scientology Democrats.
Yeah, our two people.
Tom Cruise just texted me.
Tom Cruise and John Travolta are pissed. You know, that's one thing. Speaking of Scientology, it's one thing that was like really, really hot there for a while, and like you don't really hear about it except for all the negative stories, obviously. But like it was one of the like fastest growing quote religions in the country. And ever since those documentaries and Leah Remini came out and spoke on it, like it really died out quick. Now it's just rich people. Like it's mainly just rich people after they figured out.
They found the right clientele.
Yeah, it's they like, did. 100%.
It's a rich man's religion.
Yes, yes. Cult. More like a cult. More cult than religion. I would say Scientology.
I've seen a lot of poor people in cults.
That's a great point. Yeah, there are a lot of... Jim Jones.
Waco.
You have
Waco.
More fun being in the cult, but you make more money as the leader of the cult. Creed Bratton.
I disagree,
the one dude got a compound in Waco.
The David Koresh.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, he had a compound, but I mean, how much was that what was his net worth?
That's a great question. I don't know, because it's a pretty big compound, and then Jim Jones basically bought an island and moved his entire congregation to the island.
He's the like mega church pastor that has like, there's theories that he's like the devil, because
Joel Osteen
is that the one that bought the like crazy or got like, a plane from like,
Perry. I know exactly.
And like in the video, yes. Like he made it so cheap I had to
buy
it.
Really creepy eyes,
and then they're like, yeah, but
He looked. I don't know that guy's name, yeah. But he's an older man. He actually studied.
They're called false prophets.
Yeah, he's
terrifying.
Yeah, he studied under Billy Graham.
Oh,
he is one of his disciples or whatever. And then he's one
that
of these
went out left field.
Yeah, he was. But so he's one of these what's it called?
He's prosperity gospel.
Prosperity gospel. Yeah. That's right. He's prosperity gospel. Like if you're rich, God wants you to be rich, and God made me rich because I'm so
pure.
You
have God's favor if you are rich, which is completely counterintuitive of the gospel.
To everything.
It literally everything. You cannot find one verse to defend it.
Yeah, nothing. There's nothing in scripture in Old Testament or New Testament that says anything about it's great to be rich or God favors the rich. Texture. Do Nephilim practice Haktua? I don't know. Oh my gosh. We'll end it on that. After the break, we'll go to Max's O-line school. Do Nephilim. If I had a tweet of the day, it would be that. That would be the text of the day. If I had a V-Show prize package that included a Cincinnati Reds bobblehead, I would give that to you, Texter, 100%, but I have no prizes to give. But, man, that was great. All right, on the other end, we'll go to O-line school with Max Godby. Hey, it's hot outside. It's been hot. It's going to continue to be hot if your system is giving you issues or it's just not working at all. Trust the people that I trust. That's BJ Heating and Cooling, the top HVAC company in the area. They've been around here for over 40 years. They'll service you if you're in Kentuckiana. That means New Albany, Jeffersonville, Clarksville, Jefferson County here in Louisville, Sellersburg. You see their trucks going around everywhere. They're also a Bryant authorized dealer. So those Bryant systems, which are the best in the business, that's what they use. And I have one of those Bryant systems outside of my house, and my house stayed cool all weekend long. You know you have great AC when it's 95 degrees outside and your kids come and say, "Dad, it's cold in here." That's what I'm talking about. That's that Bryant system. That's that BJ Heating and Cooling. The people that I trust that you should trust, give them a look at bjheatcool.com.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
What are you going to do to me? I'm on ESPN making money.
You're listening to the Round Table with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
Oh, you missed that rant, Max. I forgot exactly what the texter said to me, but I went off on this rant about how, you know, I have all these sponsors and things.
You are on ESPN making money, but there should be a little bit of an asterisk to that.
Yeah, that's right. We're an affiliate. I'm not sitting next to.
Next to Scott Van Pelt.
I mean, he's like the only person I know there now, outside of the people that host like Around the Horn.
Stephen A. Smith.
Those, like people like that.
I can't tell you the last time I've actually just watched ESPN.
Not watched a sporting event.
I can't tell you.
Probably it was a 30 for 30, maybe the American Gladiators 30 for 30.
I'm talking about like just standard, just Sports Center or one of their shows.
Not
a 30 for 30.
Right.
Not an event.
Just everyday Sports Center. No, yes. I remember when I was a kid, and we'll 437-968 UPS jobs text. I'll wait to Max's O-line school here in a moment. But with Kellen. I remember the old standard cliche, you get up in the morning before you go to school and you watch SportsCenter while you're eating breakfast and getting ready. And he doesn't even do that. Like, he gets all of his sports news and sporting stuff on YouTube.
Growing up, like, Mike and Mike in the morning, and then
right
to Sports Center.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, the top 10 list before school
was
crazy.
You had to see the top 10 before you went to school, 100%.
I was just talking to one of my coworkers because he has a kid who's like 7 or something.
Yeah.
And he was like asking me, because he's a basketball fan, he's like, oh, like, who's the best player from the Clippers of all time? And like me and my coworker were like, like Chris Paul or like Blake Griffin or something. And then he was like, wait, Chris Paul was on the Clippers? And I was like, you're too young for Lob City.
Yeah. Oh,
then we were like, dude, you couldn't go on like a SportsCenter top 10 without seeing one of their alley-oops at least top 5.
I'm with you, man. But he's 7 or 8 years old, so he's still a little young it. Oh, there's like all Kellen watches like top 10 lists on YouTube, like who's the top 10 greatest running back of all time or whatever. And he got into it. We went fishing Saturday night at a friend's lake house in Jeff, and we're on the way home, and he starts bringing up soccer top 10s, and his brother Wyatt was like, this is the best ever. And Kel's like, it's Ronaldo. And then they started arguing about it, and I'm like, neither one of you watch soccer. Why are you yelling at each other? Stop. You're just arguing now. It was like 11:30 at night. It was late anyway. But you were literally just arguing to argue. That's all you want to do. You don't watch soccer. Those are probably the only two players you could name. And Kel's like, Neymar Jr. And I was like, that's enough. I don't want to hear Neymar Jr. in this band ever again. You understand? This is an American band. We don't watch European or any type of soccer in here. Unless it's Team USA. You understand me? Unless we're talking Pulisic, we're not talking soccer.
I can't wait for my future kid to figure out Ricky Williams. Be like, Dad, why didn't he get another shot in the NFL? Oh, and like, tear come down my eye. I don't know, son. You know, Roger Goodell, he didn't like weed.
He didn't like the weed. Don't smoke the weed. All right, let's go ahead. Let's do this. And I'm excited for Max to hear this. All right, it's our Monday O-line school with Max. Got to be hit it, Tanner.
Ladies and gentlemen, pull over your cars, because it's time for the Gooby Fett O-Line Summer Clinic.
That's fantastic.
I knew you would love that. He did it. Tanner,
bravo.
Good job.
Bravo.
Bravo, Tanner. Let's go.
Pull over your cars.
That's right.
No notes today. No notes today.
Well,
don't have to take notes today.
So okay.
All it is, we're going to do what a lot of sports psychologists do of imagining the plays. You're going to play out these plays mentally in your head.
Okay.
So, we're going to play as both a center and a play side guard. So we're going to go with an inside run technique, which everyone at this point knows.
Yep.
Braves even.
Right.
So we'll always start with Braves even.
Coach Sanders.
Yes. So we're going to start with the center and the right guard. And we're all playing center right now. We have a one technique on the guard, which means he's on the inside shade.
Okay.
So he's between the guard and the center.
Okay.
So, because it's an inside zone play, we're going to say Ray to the front side linebacker.
Okay.
Ray to the front side linebacker. So we all know this now. We've gone over this for 2 weeks.
Right.
Now, we've got to put our first step together.
Okay.
We've got to do the first step.
Footwork.
So for center, you've got a one technique. You're going to hit that tackle, that defensive tackle, with a J step.
Okay.
And this J step is going to be a 45 degree angle step towards that tackle. And it's going to be a hesitation step because what are we going to do? Because always, even though we're blocking man,
right,
we're still blocking zone as well.
Absolutely. So who's coming in your area?
So if that guy decides to go across the guard, and go to you, you've got to pick him up immediately.
Right.
So you're taking one step. You're taking a step, and then you're checking to see where he goes. Is he going to attack that shoulder of the guard, or is he going to come close to the center to you?
Okay.
So we take our step. We look, and he's attacking the shoulder of the guard.
Okay.
So at that point, our second step is to come back in. We're now going to be about hip width apart, and our goal at that point is to interlock and hit knee brace to knee brace, hip to hip, to our guard to connect and make a double team right there.
Okay.
So you're taking your step. You take step. He doesn't come over. Take another step to catch back up. And then that third step We're locked in, and we should be hip to hip at that point.
Okay. I've got this all visually right now.
So that's the center.
Okay.
Those are the center steps. Now let's talk about that guard.
And that footwork is boom, boom, boom.
It's boom, boom, boom.
Fast.
Just like that. So now we're going to be at that guard position. So
okay,
center
now
does his thing.
Center's doing his thing. Now we're the guard. Okay.
So this guard now is going to take a J step, but it's going to be a small J step, not really gaining a lot of ground, just a step. Because what do we have to do? There's two things the guard has to do right now.
Okay.
The first thing is to still check to the outside.
Right.
If something comes flashing over, he's going to have to still pick it up.
Absolutely.
So he's going to take that J step. He's going to take a look. All right. No one is flooding over the tackle. There's no one there in that zone. So now you're going to take a very, very uncomfortable second step, which is now you're going to go counterintuitive and go back. You're going to actually take that back foot,
yeah,
and you're going to go back towards that defensive tackle. So
you step, J step, small J step
small
on
J
the
step,
outside.
And now you're going
to... And now you got to reconfigure your body and shift your weight back over to the tackle.
Because remember, you've got that center coming.
But yes.
And in order to get that center to where he's got 50% of the defensive tackle and you've got 50%, you've got to be able to push that defensive lineman and kind of disrupt him a little bit
to
that center time. So you're taking a step, watching this, making to make sure no one's flooding over. Now you're going to take your second step with your backside foot back into that defensive lineman.
Okay.
So now you're both hip to hip at this point. Both hip to hip. Both you all have an arm or a forearm in the chest plate of that defensive lineman. So at that point, it's in unison. It's boom, 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 working together to push the defensive lineman back.
And it's important that your footwork is unison and you guys are locked in together doing that.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, how long does it take? And I'm sorry if I'm derailing you, but this question came to me. How much practice time does it take for you to be able to get those lock steps in with your fellow offensive lineman?
It takes a year. It takes a year because you have to know, like, if Zach West is next to me.
Yeah.
If he's playing that right guard, I'm playing center. I know Zach's steps 14 years later. I know if we were to line up right now, I would know how he would step.
That's impressive.
It's so embedded because guess what happens? If he steps wrong, all of a sudden he steps on you.
Yeah.
It hurts.
Yeah, it hurts.
I mean, it hurts.
Well, and the play blows up and the defensive tackle's in the backfield.
Yes. So you have to... It's just slowly working together. It's a lot of time also in the hotel, going into the conference rooms, and just step, step, ba 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 ba, step, step, ba 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 ba. Just memory over and over and over again, working together on it. So, all that to say, so now we're hip to hip.
Right.
We're shoulder to shoulder, and we're working that defensive lineman forward. It's almost like you're almost shaped almost like an A-frame a little bit.
You're
both kind of turned a little bit because now you both have eyes on that linebacker.
Right.
So you're now watching that linebacker. That defensive lineman, you've been able to get underneath his shoulder pads. You pressed up on him, and you're just slowly moving him forward. But now you got to watch to make sure that linebacker doesn't wash over.
Right.
So you're keeping eye contact. All of a sudden, he starts washing over. We're still at the guard position right now.
Okay.
So he starts to wash over.
To your outside shoulder.
To my outside shoulder. He's mine at that point. So I'm screaming to the center. I'm going, me, 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 me. And I'm taking one more step to assert and kind of just dishevel that defensive lineman one more time so the center could take him over.
Now he's one-on-one with the center now.
He's one-on-one with the center. I gave that last little oomph to be able to get him over. Now, at that point, I'm putting a foot in the ground just like a running back that's cutting.
Yeah.
So I'm going, me, 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 me. Foot's down, and now I'm bouncing back out. It's almost like a post set with pass rushing.
Yeah, yeah.
So now I'm leveled up to where I'm now one-on-one with that linebacker. And the biggest thing that you have to do as a offensive lineman, if you stutter step and try to not get juked out, you will get juked out.
You're going to be on the ground.
What you want to do is cause linebackers, secondary guys, you want them to panic. Because at that point, that's a lot of body
that
is just coming at you.
And with a lot of speed.
With a lot. blocks. To,
and back to J.J. Weaver coming at you.
Exactly.
Now he's you were double teaming the defensive tackle, and now J.J. Weaver's coming at you full speed, so you have to react by passing him off to the center. Now you have to get ready and have him coming at you. Okay.
Exactly.
So now, let's go.
So now you've pushed the defensive lineman on. You reposition yourself, and you're waiting for that linebacker. You know this play. If the running back's running, most likely it's coming off your off of the left side of your butt at that point.
Right.
So you maybe take a little bit more presence with your left foot, and then you're going to start pinning for the inside shoulder of that linebacker. So right now, facing him, his left shoulder.
Okay.
So I'm aiming for that, and I'm going full tilt at him, and the goal is to get him tied up. If you can lay him out and get a pancake block and knock down with him, more money to you at that point.
Right.
But now you're aiming for that left inside shoulder, pin him, and then push him back. And then one of two things. There's two different styles of play. For me, it was more important for me to get a hat on hat and be a disruptor.
Okay.
If you're a Zach West type or some of just these gnarly guards, it's a takedown. It's at this point.
Damn.
You're in my sandbox. I'm going to hurt you.
Yeah, I'm going to kick your ass out of my damn sandbox.
And
yes.
It's going to be drive your legs so hard that finally the linebacker just has to cave in and fall back. And that is the ultimate thing with offensive linemen is driving your legs. So now if you saw...
A lot of sled work.
Exactly. You see what the guard did? Now you're looking at the center. That center now... He just got a great gift from the guard. Jolt. All of a sudden, that defensive lineman, just for a split second, is
off
disrupted.
Balance.
Off balance. At that point, that center's taking his outside hand, and he is hitting as hard as he can on that chest plate and grabbing that chest plate right where the shoulder blade is.
Right, right.
And you're torquing. When I say torque, just like if you're taking a very hard left turn on a highway, and you're... You spin your steering wheel. That's what you're doing with his chest plate.
Same concept.
Because what you want to do is get him light on one foot. That's where you could go for a takedown at that point. Don't hold. Don't get overextended.
Right.
Don't be a fool with it. But it's just feeling it out. Torque. All of a sudden, I feel him going. I'm driving my legs at that point and dumping him.
There we go.
So, here's the best part, though. So, everything same thing applies. On an outside zone play.
Okay.
So an outside zone play, we're doing the same thing, except it's not as much forward progression. It's not as aggressive forward because of how quick the play is going.
Right.
Where the running back is getting the ball, and he's not really going north-south real quickly. Now, with how outside zone plays are played out, you've got this wonderful option called a pin and pull.
Okay, so what is a pin and pull?
So a pin and pull is you've got a very tight shade on that guard. So let's say that one technique is very loose. Let's say he's very loose on the guard.
Okay.
Almost in between the center and the guard. At that point, the guard can say pin, 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 which means you go, I got him.
Right.
So instead of doing a double team, that center is actually going to pull. And then that guard is just going to clap back and hit him, just pin him back.
Yeah.
So now you've got your center that's now running free realm. So the linebacker is going to read that as a power play or read that as potentially a sweep.
Yeah.
But the great thing about an outside zone play, it could start out outside zone, but it could cut back real quickly.
Sure, absolutely.
So now that linebacker is startled because now, okay, the guard just went back. I'm out of position.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden there's the center. So now I'm running to overcompensate.
To follow where the center's going.
To catch up with that center.
Yeah.
And then that center, and this is the most beautiful thing about offensive line play. I mean, the most beautiful thing is it sets you up for cut blocks. And
there is
no better feeling on the earth than to be able to get a linebacker and he is already out of position.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're running full tilt. He thinks that you're going in for a kill. And all of a sudden, he sees your back arm just fully extend back with a fist.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, no.
It's coming.
Because at that point, cut block's not just diving. It's just not diving at feet.
Because that's you're setting yourself up for failure if you do that.
Right. It's a launch. Because not only are you launching for the inside knee, you're launching for the inside knee because if you miss the inside knee, it means you're hitting the outside knee.
Right. Okay.
So regardless,
you're
going to
hit a knee.
So if you miss it, though, that's why you pull this arm back. Because as soon as you come through, if your shoulder pad misses, guess what? The fist isn't.
Yeah.
And you're pulling and you bring that arm back and you rip through while you're going to the ground. And then the infamous death roll. So you dive, you right. throw the arm.
Yeah.
And then you roll. And at that point, it's either you've got the knee and then he's getting caught up in your roll, or you missed, but then you're rolling and then you get him down.
Yeah.
It is fantastic.
Dissatisfaction.
All that, to do all that, then that gap just went miles wide.
Right.
And then all that running back's got to do, cut, take it back inside. Everyone's overcompensating for the way that they saw the center pulling, thinking it could be a power or a sweep. And then, boom, just right up the middle for a big game.
There you go, taking it to the house. That was awesome. Fantastic. And look, that Star Wars music along with it
is fantastic.
Goosebumps.
It gets me even more hyped up.
It did. There was a legit change from last week, which you still did a great job, to this week, to where you got more into it. Like your eyes were wide while you're going through this. So that was awesome.
I felt like I was in the trenches with that music.
I did too, man. I felt like NFL
never played
films.
Football in my life, but I was like, I'm the left guard right now. What's going on?
This is awesome. I mean, this is fantastic. Loved that very much, Max. A lot of fun there. Now, this is one of my questions I've always wondered. How have you never gotten into coaching?
Well,
your depth of knowledge and your ability to explain it and your ability to remember all of this stuff is astounding. So what has kept you out of the coaching game?
Well, one, radio's fantastic because of hindsight. It's really easy to be an expert when someone already screwed up.
Right, okay.
But, no, I tried the coaching thing. So I was a GA for a year. And
okay.
The hours that are committed to it, and then also the lifestyle to it.
Yeah.
It takes a special person to be able to be in that lifestyle. And so I knew at the collegiate level, it's like, that's not for me.
Right.
Like, I love the game. I love this game. But I don't love it enough to where I have 18 to 22-year-olds dictating if I have a job or not.
Right.
That element I couldn't get over. And so not at the high school level. I mean, you saw how detailed this is
and
how intricate this is.
Oh, sure.
I cannot, and it is a huge personal flaw for me. I cannot coach someone or teach someone that is not willing to go to that depth.
Right. Oh, I understand you have to be that involved and that knowledgeable and be committed all in on that thing.
Because the offensive line is such a brotherhood.
Oh, yeah.
And because, again, it's one of the only positions on the field. I mean, every position. If you screw up, you can get someone hurt. But if you screw up on the offensive line, you're getting someone hurt. It's
100%.
Not an if. You are.
Yeah.
You are. Or you're making someone else look like a fool. And if you've got guys that do not quite understand that,
mm-hmm.
like I've done like camps before.
Yeah.
I don't mind doing a camp, but if you're trying to coach a team and you just have guys that are not willing to go to that level, to me that's difficult. That's difficult for me. I can't.
You need the same amount of buy-in that you had.
I need it because again, it's I'm not Michael Jordan, but it's the exact same thing Michael Jordan said. It's like I never asked anyone to do anything that I didn't do.
Right,
and that's because I mean I gave everything to this. Like I still got a torn labrum and a hip.
Yeah,
a torn labrum, my shoulder. My nerves don't work because of just the amount that I sacrificed into this.
Yeah.
And if you're not willing to put in that same effort, it's like, okay, then what are we doing?
Then what are we doing here?
Why are you even playing at this point?
Right.
It's like, is it wrong that I committed that much to the game? You could make an argument, maybe. My wife will definitely say yes.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have committed that much to it.
Right.
But again, if you're coaching that same game and you're not willing to put in the same effort that I put in, then it's like, okay, then what are we doing?
I can see it being very frustrating.
If I got to coach a J.J. Weaver,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'd do in a heart. If you could tell me every single time I was going to get J.J. Weaver's or the guy that was the center for Louisville last year, and I'm forgetting his name. Oh gosh.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Huh? Hudson?
Yeah, yes. Brian Hudson. Yeah, Brian Hudson.
Because the dude was a stud. That if I got to coach him, 100%.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. You just have guys that are not fully committed to that level.
Sure.
And it's infuriating.
And then for me, I coached offensive line a little while at Holy Cross when I got out of college. And the time commitment was something that also, I mean, I wasn't married, didn't have kids or anything like that at that point. But the amount of time that you spent at the field house, you know, with the coaches after practice, going over practice film, then having to go out and scout and go to games and travel around the state of Kentucky and watch. And it was like, even at a young age, before I was committed to anything in my personal life the way I am now, I was like, because I knew I wanted a family. I knew I wanted a wife, but I wanted kids. And I know the coaches that I had growing up and playing in high school and college that the hours they spent, and they never saw their kids or their wife.
Right.
Unless they were at the facility, especially during the season. Like, they never saw them.
Right.
They weren't getting home until 9, 10 p.m. every single night after practice and doing everything like that. And I was like, I can't see myself doing that. Like, I don't love it that much to where I'm going to be able to say, you know what, I'll sacrifice family stuff for this.
And you have to have a special type of wife and special kids to be able to live that lifestyle. Because, I mean, the great marriages that I did see in football were always the ones where the wives and the kids were at the facility.
Yeah, they were always there.
They made it work.
Yeah, yeah. No, 100%. Like, if you want to see me, we got to go to work and see Dad.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. All right, let's read some text. Gabi describing college Strebel right now. Texter, would Max be willing to come hang out with my youth football team for a practice?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely he would do that. 100%, I know he would. Texter, Gooby is unworthy.
Just imagining the Marshawn Lynch.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Godby, you can't scream at my kids.
Can't yell MF at the kids.
He's not blocking right.
Texter, Gooby is unworthy of Duel of the Fates. The best coaches were the worst players. Texter says.
That's good.
Texter.
Godby's a scholarship guy, though.
Exactly,
we heard the
scholarship
it.
Guy. You're damn right. Texter, Hooters on Dixie is closing. Sad day. Got my first hot. Thank you. Okay, there we go. We already talked about the
Hooters. Got him again.
Caught me again.
Got him again.
We already talked about Hooters closing in the first hour. Texter, I've always preferred the tight technique. And then hashtag, we got that. Texter, I love you guys, but I'm a visual learner. I'm headed to the office to take this course pass fail. Texter, don't you drive a Toyota rig? Yeah, that was back to me like ranting about we don't talk about soccer in this vehicle. Yes, I drive a Japanese vehicle. Texter, James and Max, you're on ESPN, but I can't imagine Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A., or Mike Greenberg are reading. Okay, yes, those text messages just a little different. Yes, thank you very much. And, hey, that's fine. Scott Van Pelt, if you think he's too good for...
Honestly, I think Scott would do it.
Oh, I could totally see Scott Van Pelt doing it. He seems to have
Stephen
that.
Stephen A. would be like, what? What is this?
Just stop that right now. You better stop saying that about Hot Tua. How dare you? Exactly. All right, let's take a break on the other end. We'll listen to some Kentucky basketball player sound from BBN tonight. We got some sound from Kirk Carissa, Andrew Carr, Kobe Brea. I held this over from Friday because we never got to it, but five questions for the college football playoff committee. Let's see here. Penny's talking big. We're in sports hell and a movie experience. All that and more on the other side. My good friends at 502 Hemp and 812 Hemp are reminding you to not buy those products in gas stations or those, you know, little smoke shops, wherever they are. Go to the experts. Go to some place where they know what they're talking about, where they can give you the right type of advice of exactly
exactly what you need. Go in there and describe what you're looking for, what you want, and they'll help you. Also, 4th of July is next Thursday, so go and get that pet CBD. Help calm your pets down. If they're not like Lox Dog and they don't like fireworks, those pet CBD chewables really help. I use them with my dogs. Last year from 812 Hemp during 4th of July celebrations around my neighborhood. They last like a week or two. And it helped them tremendously. They were calm. They weren't jumping up and down and barking and running around or hiding under the bed. They were good to go. And obviously asked the professional there at the store about, you know, the tell them the size of your dog and how much you should give your dog. You don't want your dog being comatose while the fireworks are going off. So let's go ahead and go visit them, 502hemp.com. Visit the brick and mortar stores, 502 Hemp in Douglas Hills around Oxmoor Mall, and then the 812 Hemp store across the bridge, Clarksville, Indiana, right by Kroger and Court Physical Therapy.